Get ready.
I'm going to turn Skype off and back on. I'll get back to you.
All right.
Don't leave us.
Ah, damn it.
And now you're trapped in a constant Skype call with us talking about MD Guys, your favorite anime of all time. Isn't that right, Double Gomez?
You are entirely correct. I don't like the lead up in watching it, because someone has to force it inside of some form of a DVD player and press play before I start watching it. I cannot do it myself.
You don't have the will to watch MD Geist on your own, is what you're saying.
Pretty much. Like, I wouldn't have thought of watching MD Geist again if it wasn't for this podcast.
That's why I asked your brother to come on, because I knew you'd be perfect for the job.
Now, this is the most dangerous job.
For the most dangerous podcast.
Starring the most dangerous men that are not soldiers. We qualify as being most dangerous because we have knives taped to our foreheads.
We got knives taped to our knives, which are taped to our microphones.
The most dangerous podcast filtered through knives.
Are you able to try to add your brother on?
God. Didn't even notice that he got on for a sec. Hold on.
What?
Hey, you're there.
Yeah, I am. Does my voice sound normal?
You sound correct.
Yeah, okay, no, I know what happened. For some reason, when I plugged my mic in, my computer didn't take it for some reason. So I just, I reset it. Now to do something.
I had a similar, I had a dumber issue where I put my mic into my computer, but I didn't put it in all the way, so I was really confused when I was, like, getting half of what I was saying during a test record.
Yeah. I really need to get a microphone that plugs into a USB port instead of into the microphone jack.
I had one of those for a while, but it was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Logitech works pretty fine. It's a USB headset. And, like, I have a sound card in my desktop computer, which is the only thing I have to use now. but my sound card, like, everything's behind it, so, like, if I add more wires to it, it's just more wires coming out of the back next to my TV and stuff, and I'll probably get confused between which wire does what. So I take it we're recording already, John?
Yep.
Awesome. So now that we're all here in this committee, minus Steve, but Steve will show up later, we're going to talk about possibly, maybe, I don't know, it's debatable if it's the second worst anime or the great second best anime ever made.
What would be the first best?
What does it fall behind between in both of those categories? I'm curious.
Like, does it, like, regarding a best or worst anime for a certain category?
Yeah, you said it was the second best or the second worst. What is it, what's it behind? I'm curious as to your estimate.
I don't know, like, it's, Daryl Surratt has always said, like, it's, no one can really fully agree what the worst anime of all time is, but a lot of people might agree that MD Geist is right behind that.
Well, yesterday you said Mysterious...
What's war?
Yesterday you said Mysterious Girlfriend X, and I think that's probably a fair assumption.
Yeah, I think I was Crystal Triangle was my personal worst anime of all time, but after seeing Mysterious Girlfriend X, that definitely took out the spot for number one.
I have to ask, is that in what way is that bad?
Mysterious Girlfriend X is about a goth emo girl anime person that like has a saliva like problem where she keeps like barfing out saliva from her mouth, and then she finds a guy in high school who apparently licks her saliva on the desk, and he gets sick from it. But he needs her saliva in order to survive now. And the show even gives some explanations of like, oh, then you must be an alien because like there's no way an average human could possibly need spit on a daily basis to survive. She's like, no, I'm completely human. And I'm like, this show sucks. And I only watched the first two episodes. But everyone swears up and down it's the greatest anime they've ever seen. And it's supposed to get less saliva-ish towards the end of the series, but I'm like, I don't buy it.
Yeah, at the end, they swear from saliva to blood.
Then it becomes moon phase.
Well, no, I think that we all see how this is going. Every like 5 to 10 episodes, they switch which bodily fluid that needs.
Gross.
Yeah.
I guess we should just go ahead and dive into this. Welcome to another episode of the Cybernauts Cast, and we are going to be diving into Koichi Ohada Month. Probably an anime director that should not have been an anime director, but wound up making some pretty decent stuff. At least if you know if you're watching this, it's like watching a Bruno Mattei movie or a Michael Bay film, because you already know what you're going to expect when you watch a Koichi Ohada anime. And it just gets better and better with each title.
Nobody
go ahead.
Directs quite like Koichi Ohada. Nobody directs like Koichi Ohada does.
No, I don't know. This is the only thing I've seen from Koichi Ohada.
So you guys haven't seen like Geno Cyber or Cybernetics Guardian or anything like that?
The only other thing that I knew that he was part of was Geno Cyber, and I haven't taken the time to watch it yet. I've heard that it's supposed to either be much better or just as bad.
See, that's up for debate too, because that anime has some like you're like it seems to try to like unintentionally one up MD Geist, but it's like equally the same. It's just in a different context or a different story and
it's
plot.
not worse, different.
Yeah. I guess we should finish introductions, but we've got John Jones.
Hey.
Got Vimon Josh.
Hi.
And we got the people from One Pixel Jump who I've been talking to.
Hello.
I'm not actually on this podcast. I'm a ghost.
You're double the man ghost Gomez?
I'm double ghost man.
You're gonna get a new title. Now you're the man ghost. Or the ghost man. I'm not sure.
I prefer the man ghost because that makes less sense.
MD Geist is an anime about a super soldier guy, and he's the most dangerous super soldier to ever be made into an animated feature before. And I think if he had his own live action movie, it'd be the manliest, possibly worst, best movie ever made. At least in my mind.
It would definitely be the most dangerous film ever made.
It would be the most dangerous film ever made.
It's all pointing. It stabs people.
After Reb Brown had been hit in the head with a brick a couple times.
Dude, I kind of wish that Reb Brown was the actual voice actor of M.D. Geist.
No matter who was the other voice actor, he could not possibly have done worse, better than the guy who did the CPM dub.
Yeah, I don't even know who the guy who did the dub for M.D. Geist, but Geist doesn't need a lot of dialogue in this. It's everyone else. But their dialogue constantly consists of screaming and yelling about things the whole anime.
Pretty much.
When you live in a universe where robot super soldiers can shoot you and evaporate your entire body, I think that's a pretty good reason to be screaming all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that it would just become so mundane since it seems to happen all the godforsaken time.
MD Geist is a pretty hardcore universe.
Well, I mean, it is the post-war apocalypse of, Planet Jera. Yeah. It's not Earth, but then again, in the second OVA, they had the Statue of Liberty, so maybe it was, Neo-America that was on Planet Jera. They don't really dive into that too well.
Well, if you remember G Gundam, after the end of that Gundam fight, America was like, you know what, we didn't win, fuck this, we're getting our own planet, and then MD Geist happened.
Oh, God. Does that mean that there's someone on Planet Jera that is the descendant of Chibbity Crockett?
Yes, it's MD Geist. They used his genetic material because nobody else in Neo America was that manly. Just took out all the charisma and sanity.
Well, it was like no one was that manly, but they took out the ability that for MD Geist to have sex with women because he doesn't need to have sex with women.
And all he needs to do is explode everyone. Women, probably, but it's not necessary that they be women.
No, preferably need to be glowing neon blue people.
So. Krauser, when his Dr. Yeah. Manhattan eggshell thing.
Yeah, his snake skin. His glowing snake skin.
Well, at least with that we didn't get to see his dong dangling around all the time. At least he had spandex on, so that kind of helps.
If this was a live action movie, 90% of the lighting budget would have been done so that all lighting makes it impossible for you to see genitals. Because MD Geist and Krauser end up naked a couple of times throughout the movie, and you can never see their junk.
All right, so pretty much the first we're tackling the first two OVAs. And, I mean, that's all that has been made so far. But mark my words, and I will say this, that one day there will be an MD Geist 3, at least before I die. I am believing in that to happen.
See, what I'm hoping is that Koichi Ohada dies soon so that MD Geist 3 has to be made by his zombie.
He feels the deep cultural heritage with all of the all of the mangled bodies that appear throughout Jera.
No. He has his body shot into space where he gets his inspiration for what to do with the next planet Geist goes to.
Geist is just looking out into space, sees a distant world, and jumps to it.
Yeah, he's the Hulk.
He just goes,
yeah,
and then you just see him lightning speed jump to the next planet. Well, no, I think he just he obviously uses that space prison colony as his car, and he just instead of parking, he just crash lands into every planet. we haven't even gotten that far to we haven't discussed anything about this except this happens in this anime, but. So anyways, it starts out with a bunch of soldiers in a ship flying up over a bunch of skeletons, which that is a lot of dead bodies in one area. Genocide, maybe? Who knows? But apparently we get to see this person holding a gun on the ground, and then as soon as the plane passes over it, which is this guy's MD Geist, but apparently his gun is able to be used as three different things in one gun, where it's not only a grappling hook to hook onto the ship, but it's also got an RPG mount into it, which then turns into a machine gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dante has one of those.
Now, what, you mean that gun he got from Lady from DMC3, I think?
Yeah.
That's the rocket launcher scorpion from Mortal Kombat gun.
That's how you want to describe it.
I'm not really sure how else you would describe it.
That would have been funny if this was if this was dubbed during Mortal Kombat. Like, if he, like, grappled hooked to the plane, you just hear, "Get over here!"
What just happened?
Give me a moment. I don't know what's going on. Give me a second.
All right.
Are we all here?
I'm still here.
I'm here.
Podcasting.
Okay, I think everyone's here.
Classic podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I bother to edit this out? Maybe.
Well, you kind of have to explain why Steve is here all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah, I did just kind of say, oh, Steve's here.
Yeah. Anyway, where were we?
I don't know. Well, we're at the part where so Guy blows up the ship in the beginning, and then he apparently like floats down, and he comes out of the wreckage, this fiery like engulfing flame wreckage, and apparently he's got like a bullet in his skull. I don't know if he's got adamantium skeletons or something, because he just peels it off like it's a zit or something, and then tosses it on the ground, and then bam, subtext.
Oh yeah,
is
then
that
you
what
get
it's supposed to be? I thought that Geist just put a fake bullet hole on his forehead so that they would think he was a corpse.
That's what I thought too at first. Like, when I first saw this, that was my first instinct. But then it's like, wait, why would he do that? Like, who's gonna fly at 800 miles an hour to notice a guy who doesn't have a bullet in his head?
Wait a minute, that one guy wasn't shot. This is suspicious. Oh wait,
we gotta circle around. Hold on, We gotta circle around and look at that one corpse on the ground. That doesn't look like an entire skeleton like everyone else.
Well, they gotta call in backup, too.
Considering what the other things that the regular army tries out in this OVA, I'm not gonna call them the smartest soldiers ever. So maybe they would do that.
That's what they should have done instead of the MD program. The SS. The triple S, the super smart soldiers. Should have done that.
What about the POW project?
Yeah, I wish.
If only.
Well, I mean, they took out the gene to turn someone into a monster. I mean, that's one way to look at it. But,
maybe
like, the whole stuff...
The Krauser was blue.
he's a failed POW project because they just turned his skin blue, but there was no hair to go with it, or superpowers.
Yeah.
And they gave him worms.
Possibly. I know he's got, like, a bad skin condition. Because he has to go under, like, a tanning bed.
Bad. We haven't even... for dermatologists.
We haven't even gotten to MD Geist 2. We need to go into this some sort of order on this. But, so anyways, yeah. So, like, apparently Geist is such an utter badass. He has to go to space prison. But apparently space prison couldn't keep him in space. Because the space prison decides to crash to Earth. Which, he was naked for some reason. And then, like,
well, if you're gonna seal a man away in ultra space prison, you can't leave him with his dignity.
I don't know. Maybe he broke out of space prison, like, and started a prison riot, and they just wound up killing everybody on there. Because in the anime, it does state that he needs to kill to survive, and he was like the only person to come out of that space prison. So everyone else has probably been dead for a while that he's been using for food.
I was gonna. Well, you say that as though it may not be literal, but we do see Geist occasionally eating people in this show.
In self defense, though.
What? An ear's not, you know, getting an earful? Isn't it like a midday snack or something?
Well, he did try to bat off. He bit that one dude in the neck, and then he bit Krauser in the arm, but that's freaking skipping ahead.
Everything goes back to MD Geist 2.
Yeah. Maybe that's just the better OVA is MD Geist 2, because we keep going to it all the time.
Define better.
That's a hard definition. Better in reference?
I don't know. I still prefer the first OVA's ending.
Yeah.
Death Force is here.
The second OVA has, like, the best ending ever. It's just, like, 5 minutes
everything
of screaming.
Explodes and everyone's dead.
Okay, no, here's... No, MD Geist isn't dead because I go by the theory of no body, no death. They didn't show any body. They showed a helmet, and that was it. He ain't dead.
Well, no. To fake his death, much like the fake bullet hole, he has to have fake body parts lying around that just look like him.
He's got body doubles. I didn't think it would be that smart to make body doubles. Because, you know, he only knows how to kill.
But wouldn't it get suspicious, though, leaving, you know, that many dongs around? In various sizes?
Leave all these dicks around. They'll completely forget about me, and they won't even think I'm alive.
It would completely throw them off their trail to try to find me.
Well, like, you surround them with...
They go on the battlefield, there's like, one of them discovers, you know, they turn this one corpse over and they discover Geist's dick in this guy's ass. What?
They go to pick up a grenade, but they wind up picking up a Geist dick and throwing it across the field. Instead of the grenade going off, it's just the equivalent of everyone running out of the hole, like, oh god, dick! And they just run out and everyone just guns them down. That clears a
fog hole. Dick in the hole!
But man, okay, so like we get to this after the space prison whatever colony drop, like we get to this like town where this guy's getting like assaulted by a Mad Max gang basically, and then guy shows up to pretty much like skirt or scrounge off of their kill, and they're like, that's our kill, and then he's like, I'm the only one who knows how to use this power armor, and then this big freaking like huge boss gang dude in a Fu Manchu. Which he reminds me of some other big gang boss member, but I really can't think of.
And he wants like, Fist of the North Star?
If you go back and watch Mad Max, I'm sure it'll come to you.
He's like Lord Humongous, but without the mask. And he's got long
actually,
hair.
I wrote, there's so much... There actually is a whole lot of... Jacob, you said something. Compared him to somebody, but I don't remember who.
I didn't do it. You did.
No, I compared Geist to Lord Humongous Cross with a retarded chicken. You compared to that big, fat guy.
No, come on. Let's get serious here. It's a cross between Humongousaur and Hulk Hogan. Come on.
I don't remember the comparison I made.
That boss king dude does look like Hulk Hogan, but just like darker hair.
Exactly.
And like no eyes. Wait, did he have sunglasses on? Maybe no, he did.
He did.
He did.
They fall off when Guy fights him by chopping his arms off with his super knife.
Oh yeah, and the guy super apparently bleeds like the guy bleeds blood like sand spilling out of his arms and gallons.
His blood, the moment it left his body,
just like spurt out a little bit. You know, give it a little spurtage. You know,
it's like using
the thing with that. The weird thing was that his blood, some of it came out and just dripped down to the ground, but some of it came out like it immediately converted into this mist and it just sort of floated around for a bit.
It's kind of like using the spray tool in a Photoshop.
Cherry Kool-Aid mix.
But no, like, then Geist finishes him off by stabbing a knife in his skull. But then the guy with the knife in his skull says, "You bastard!" And he only dies when the knife comes out of his skull.
And then he coughs up blood. He gets stabbed in the temple as though this was a Hokuto Shinken move. And then he coughs up all the blood from all the injuries to his arm and side of his head. But that's how you know he's dead. He's not dead until he coughs up blood.
But then, of course, go ahead.
Forget it. No, forget it. It was stupid.
All right. Well,
good, stupid.
Steve, you got to leave in a few minutes?
Yeah.
You're going to watch Battleship?
Yeah.
Of all the movies your wife had to rent, it was Battleship.
Yeah. I mean, if it was Life Happens, you know, that would have been better, but no, wants to watch Battleship. I'm talking about a waste of 75
cents. No, so I want to say this and go on record saying this. I think there's four version, I think there's four MD Geist out there, and I'm backing this up. We have our two official ones, and I just picked up MD Geist, what I consider MD Geist 3, a.k.a. Lockout, where live-action MD Geist breaks into space prison. I haven't seen this movie yet, but I'm about to as soon as this podcast is over. And then I have
that
been working...
very interesting.
Yeah, I just know this movie has space prison. The guy has to break into space prison. So all I can think about is MD Geist breaking back into space prison.
Well, why MD Geist? Why couldn't it be Cobra?
He doesn't have a psycho gun. If he did, then I could say
he
Cobra.
He could, in his pants.
I don't know. I don't know this
he's
movie.
Going,
I don't know this
daughter.
Movie. First of all, Steve, before I can even watch Lockout, I have to finish Barbarella on Netflix, which that movie put me to sleep 30 minutes in.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm not kidding you.
Sick.
Okay, no. I got 36 minutes in, and I paused the movie because I was about to doze off, and I said, wait, what happened the past 30 minutes? Because all I can remember was Shag carpeting in a cockpit in space, Jane Fonda crash landing on an ice planet, her having sex with a guy who took off a wool costume, but she only had the same amount of hair on his body than it did when he had the wool costume on.
I know,
and then
right?
She goes to meet the guy with the angel wings at some other part, and that's all I remember. I mean, that's essentially what happens in that movie.
Yeah,
in 30
but
minutes.
She's got a nice rack back then.
Jane Fonda's freaking hot for 1967 or 8.
Yep.
I ain't gonna lie. But I need to finish that as soon as it's over, and then I'll watch Lockout.
Okay. Well, guys, I'm gonna go ahead and duck out right now. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Hey, Josh.
Yeah.
We still need to go on over that manga review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finish reading, okay?
All right.
All right, guys.
Enjoy your
battleship. Right? I need like a bat of popcorn laced with like Ritalin or something to watch this thing. All right, guys. Ciao.
Right, have fun.
Take care.
Wait, what manga
is Will?
Yeah. You should just get drunk like how I am right now reviewing this. I've got a bottle of the cheapest whiskey I can find at the liquor store, which is 10 High Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey. And apparently there's something stuck at the bottom of this. And I ripped out a bunch of carpeting, but whatever. Oh, that's ice. But... So anyways, no, like, as soon as he kills the boss dude, like, Via, the girl, the only girl in this, like, runs over to MD Geist, and she's like, and she wants to instantly ride his dick the whole time.
Considering how happy she is whenever somebody dies, it doesn't, maybe she just gets turned on by that. Or by Geist. I'm not sure which, because she seems really into Geist until the very end.
Yeah, until she realized this guy is a psychopath. This was a bad idea.
I don't even know how she got to the bottom of Brain Palace at the end, but...
Yeah, they don't... Oh, cool. Man. It was like... I think it's the equivalent of...
I told you how that happened.
Oh, no, tell us.
No, I told you how that happened. I told you how that happened.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Obviously what happened is that all of the defense mechanisms for Brain Palace work entirely in self-defense, so she just casually strolled in there, not doing anything other than walking, so no one thought anything of it.
Wait, could that happen if she, like, basically opened her top and just flashed all the robots, and they're like, oh, she's harmless. She's female. She's not here for war.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if...
One girl ever. Yeah. Maybe that's right.
She is, like... She's the only girl that I know, like, she's the only girl in the first MD Geist anime. Which,
was there,
you know,
a girl
there's
in the second one? I don't remember.
There was a couple. There's that one art, that palace guard woman, because I remember hearing another female voice, but then she dies within like 5 seconds.
There's that one that got her skull, like, crushed in.
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, the soldier lady with Eagle when they went to go capture Geist, and then one of the Death Force ate her.
Oh, yeah. Sucks she wasn't, like, using that body for making more people on the Earth, but I don't know. Maybe they didn't figure that out yet.
What is sex? And how does it function?
I mean, the planet was basically made for war. Like, there's no time for knocking women up in war unless they teach you that.
Yeah, that was the entire reason people on Earth colonized.
I think she was just approaching
Jera.
It the wrong way. Guys, all forms. All she needed to say is, "Hey, I want to wrestle with you, and your penis needs to be out."
Yeah, she gets. They go to the camp and like. They go to the camp and he's like on the bed and she's just like, "You haven't had a woman in a long time, have you?" And he just like looks over like he's interested, and then. And she's basically making out with him, but he gives her that Gogo 13 face.
He's not even doing anything. She is kissing him, and he has the exact same expression, staring vacantly into space. Then he pulls her up by her
basically,
hair.
She's basically the man in the. She's basically man the man in the relationship at this point because she's doing all the work, and he just like grabs her by the hair and tears off the bed. He's like, "I'm not interested. I just want the information."
All I'm interested in is the information that's inside your head, or something like that.
And she's like, she's gathering her clothes. She's like, "I'm determined to change him. Like, come on."
Okay. Yeah, well, I know. This is like an abusive relationship taken furthest extreme.
But so then they decide to go and or MD Geist decides to go and battle the next scene of the next day. This like tank that's being harassed by mech by robots or by power mechs, which is like the next one army that has the power mechs, and then the power armor with the tanks people is the regular army. I think
the regular army has fight tech armor.
Okay.
It's important.
And I think the other two were supposed to call.
It sounds like the sort of company you'd order from off of a infomercial channel.
So after the war, the regular army would just try to liquidate all their stuff on an infomercial channel in QVC.
Yeah, they'd be doing that. They'd be like, "Look at this high quality fight tech armor encrusted with diamonds. You cannot get that sort of thing in stores, and we are going to sell it for a slash price of only $1,999. Can we do that? We're going to do that.
We've got a lot of people calling in. There's a lot of orders being made. Oh, we just slashed our price down to $1,500. This sale won't get any better. You can use your. You can pick up one of these up football practice for the kids.
That's right.
I would pay $15 for one of my sons to play football in powered armor because there's no way he could ever lose or get tackled.
Ever. Guy tackles.
Especially
him,
if he gets the flying one.
Punch daggers that are naturally in the armor. Like
yeah,
the guy pieces.
Well, I mean, all of them have got, like, freaking spikes sticking out of it. So then, like, if some football player tries to shackle him from the side, he's going to be stabbed with a spike into, like, his hand or his shoulder or something.
There's no official rule in the NFL or really any football association ever about funny armor.
Well, you know, if they kept the temporary refs in the NFL, like, power and armor could have been obviously legal. Because they would have just, you know, you got the whole first line of football players, like, you know, in the infirmary from, like, the first quarter of the game. But the refs are like, "It's not illegal if it's not in the book." And they got the coaches like, "Come on, my best quarterback got knocked out the first play. And his brain's still on the ground."
God damn it. Why did we train referees using Air Bud? It's not in the rule book that says we can't do that. We can do it.
So, I'm sorry, Coach. I can only understand Wolf and Bow Wow. We should probably move on. But, so anyways, like, MD Geist obviously initiates the fight with, like, the next Rome army, which he winds up basically, like, taking him out with, like, spears and stuff.
Because he goes into the fight using his four-wheeled motorcycle turret that I don't really understand why you would ever use that ever. Because you can't aim it
on the front of a motorcycle. It is.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It's built like a Formula One racer that's been cut in half. But with a big gun on it.
But then that sucker gets trashed like by the first robot because MD Geist is like, "I don't really need this thing because I can just run up and then like jam it with a spear."
It really doesn't need it. Not only does he jam it with the spear, there's also the guy where he jumps on the back of somebody else's motorcycle, and as it drives up to a robot, then he jumps off, and this is my favorite moment in the entirety of MD Guys, when he stabs that guy in the forehead who's piloting the robot. And it's not enough to stab him in the head. No, that had to have a pulled pin grenade in it, because if you're not, because you're not going to die from getting stabbed in the brain. No, you have to fucking explode.
No, I think it would have been better if MD Guys like stabbed it, and then like you just see him go off screen, and then you see him push into a nuclear bomb into the cockpit, and you just see him run off.
He like picks it up. He picks it up like a football and just spikes it. Touchdown! Kaboom!
It's the freaking Tsar Bomba.
You see him do his dance like he's on the, like he's actually just made the score. He does like the Egyptian.
Oh. Yeah, I think that would have been. See, if there's a live action reinterpretation of MD Guys, that's the scene that would have. I would want them to change is where he like pushes in a nuclear bomb or just like quarter like throws it in into the cockpit. But then he meets up. It's like, oh, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say that MD Guys more or less wins that fight by himself because the people that he brings with him don't do anything. My favorite one being that My favorite one is that fat guy because he goes, damn it, I'm not going to die for that crazy jerk. And then almost immediately after that, his head evaporates because a robot shoots it.
No, he gets shot in the head. You hear him go, ah, but there's no head left.
I remember.
There's a lot of that in this.
I think the best death is that one where the guy is like dying and he like pauses between every single word.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's when they invade Brain Palace.
Colonel, you and Mr. Geist have to stop the death force.
It was even worse than that.
No, Colonel.
I love Tupac Media so much.
This is one of
they're
those,
all dead.
This is
again.
One of those shows again. That's like the best part about it is like the terrible, terrible dub. One of the best parts, anyway.
That's what
I
makes
was
it so
say,
great.
Is this dub? This is the dub bad, or is it the most appropriate dub ever?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's very fitting.
It is. Like I think they did a. I think they did a good job. Like dubbing this, like there's in my mind, there's no way anybody else can redub this and make it any better than the original dub. Like, it's just impossible. I can't see that.
It's like Madball, where the dub is totally ridiculous, but
yeah,
the
like
show.
You need the dub to watch Madball. You can't watch that in Japanese because you're not going to get the full greatness of Madball.
I did see someone. We watched the second one on YouTube, and someone said the Japanese version. You have to see it because it's even more insane because everyone is constantly screaming, but. I find it hard to believe it could be better than the dub.
Not at all. There's no way you could top the dub of Madball.
So MD Guys, like, at the end joins up with Colonel Kurtz or something. Or Kurtz or, you know, whatever. But he looks like freaking Captain Murphy from C-Lab. It's how it's been someone
he
described.
He does.
And it would be great to, like, redub MD Guys with, like, turn it into like an AMV joke where it's just like C-Lab lines. And he just got Captain Murphy like, where are my cupcakes?
That's why they went to Brain Palace. They needed those cupcakes. Robo cupcakes.
Robo cupcakes. But there's no black people in this, and so there wouldn't be a Quinn who would be half a robot.
That's
true. And I don't know who. I guess the guy who's dying could be like the Sparks. I don't know. And then Debbie could be Vi.
I like the idea of making the dying guy like a main character.
Well, I mean, Sparks is like one of the greatest characters, and I mean, like he's in a chair. I mean, if he's not in a chair, he's dead. Just kind of like in the real show.
Oh God.
Yeah, I could see, you know, like, where everything blows up at the end of the second episode, you know, I could see them doing just a third episode and not acknowledging that it blew up, like, you know, how every C-Lab episode ends with it
blowing. Oh, yeah.
That would be perfect. It's not like it blew up. It's not like the Krauser's land ship blew up for a reason at the end of Endegeist 2. My thought was that it might be tied to Krauser's self-esteem, so when Geist beat him so thoroughly, it just crumbled.
Yeah.
Krauser had set up like a freaking self-esteem trigger or something. Like, if his pride drops to a certain rate, then everything blows up.
You have to...
if I suck, there's no reason anyone should survive. So no I might as well kill all of them.
No one should share my suckness. Everyone has to go.
Other people.
I can't let anyone see me be mad at what I do.
Worth worship. Nobody else should live.
No one is as blue as me.
At the end of this episode, you have to put the like some audio of that screaming at the end of the second episode.
I've already got an audio clip. Don't worry, dude. Oh. I got our ending for this set, for this recording set.
Oh, okay,
it's
good.
Taken care of. I actually had to hunt down like audio clips, and I actually had to use your bad anime dub panel on YouTube because your panel is the only thing that's got like all the greatest lines in MD Geist. So I'm just gonna use that.
That's totally fine with me. That yeah. was why we use one of those.
Do I?
Oh god. The worst.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I would say, getting into episode 2, the worst dub line in all of MD Geist is Eagle reacting to the loss of his leg.
Oh, God, my leg.
No, my leg. God, it's so bad.
Well, all right, before we get into the second one, let's just quickly sum up the first one. But MD Geist fights a robot boss, because this is pretty much a video game at this point. And the boss has three different forms.
Yeah, it's like this is something that would be out of like an NES or Genesis game, basically.
The melting security guard robot.
I just think Koichi Ohada played a lot of Mega Man before he worked on this final scene.
Okay, I got my own
master. Forms.
I mean, isn't there a boss in these games that has like a multiple form, like three or four, like you have to fight the same boss three or four times because it always changes. But this one like de-evolves because it gets smaller and smaller. Then it winds up dying the dumbest reasons.
The last one of the last form of this one was not particularly well. The second to last form was not very well thought out because for some reason the robot needed to be able to breathe, and the only way we can make the robot breathe is exposing its inner circuitry to knife attacks.
Yeah.
And then it gets rid of its outer armor and turns into this white skeleton with guns and one grappling hook.
Yeah.
And that's it. My favorite part is that it plays MD Geist theme during that. Like he's trying to overcome some really big adversity he's been facing for a while. But really, he just kind of got punched in the face and then he won.
Well, no, he got punched and then like
fight at any point.
Well, he jumped like 50 feet in the air to grapple onto something and then like and then it shows like the robot hand finding him or something, and then he's just like, all right, well, I'll just have to take it out eventually, and he does. But then like he apparently after that, like the robot comes into like the security room where like Colonel Kreutz is at, and then the Colonel realizes the robot's defeated because it falls down dead, and then you see MD Geist, and he's like, oh, you survived, and then Geist just grabs his head and just like crushes his skull where his eyeballs just blob out.
What I love about the progression of that is when he sees Geist, he starts laughing like he's amused by that, but the moment that he Geist walks up close enough to him, he starts freaking out. As though like, oh, Geist, you survived. Oh, wait, you're going to kill me.
No. But then like, I guess like, I guess like Via was hiding out in the locker the entire time or something, but she just shows up and she's like, "Wow, Geist, you did it! Hooray for you! I thought the Death Killer was going to take over the Earth, but then it didn't because you're here." And he just goes up and like switches the switch, and she's like, "Geist, what are you doing?"
He activates Final Programmo Death Force. I don't know if anyone thinks that's as funny as I do. I know it's supposed to be like Program Zero, but it just says Programmo.
El de Programmo Finale.
So bad. Oh, como, I love it.
Como se llama Program Finale? Programmo. I don't know.
Force de la Muerte.
I love Spanish. But no, his final line in this was he's like, "The game," it was something about a game, and he goes, "The game's not over yet. It's just beginning." And then bam!
At which point she screams. Yeah, the end. Yeah. The last thing I think that you see is that a laser erupts out of where they just were. And yeah. That's it.
That was a Death Force. A big laser.
Just gonna kill them. That kills everyone. That would make a lot more sense than what Death Force actually is.
Yeah, and the way that it functions.
Yes.
The way the Death Force comes on. If we lose, we need to kill everyone.
It's not even that. The president dies. The president of Jera,
like,
I guess.
The president of Jera or whatever, like, he apparently dies, which apparently sets off the Death Force, which I'm like, that's a dumb plan. That's like freaking starting nuclear annihilation if our president gets assassinated.
That's right.
That's the same thing.
It is.
Did you already start talking about Indie Guys too? Or the beginning? Where like the guy is chained to like the SUV cannon tank.
Couch.
I love that because Geist has presumably tied that guy to that car in order to lure the Death Force to him so he can drive the car into them, which I don't know why he can't just drive the car into them in the first place, but even so, I don't know why Geist needs another person to lure them in. Geist is a person. The Death Force will attack him.
Yeah.
No, they've learned. Avoid people with M17 dog tags.
Oh, so they're going to hunt him down because the guy he has tied to the car does not have MD dog tags, but they kill anything. They kill anything that's living anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
Kill everything that's living, eat their remains, use that to build as many robots as possible, so long as that's less than 9,099.
Oh, yeah, they mentioned in this that the robots can reproduce.
Yeah. The robots, I assume that has... There's just one really lonely Death Force scientist who's like, "Oh, listen, I'm going to interact with sex somehow, even if I have to make these robots do it."
Oh, no, I can't see it. I'm dead. Damn it.
Well, then also, like, after the battle in the beginning, or when MD Geist just punks those two, like, spaceship robots, then the guy starts yelling exposition about, like, everything. It's like, "In case you missed out on the first MD Geist, this happened, and this happened, and the army got disbanded, and now MD Geist is back."
Dude, what I love about that, the guy yells all of that nonsense while MD Geist is on fire.
His shirt is on fire, and it doesn't bother him at all.
Yeah. Wait, what were you saying, Josh?
I said it, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they have like title cards and the guy screaming like everything that's happened in the past.
That guy was probably my favorite character in the second OVA.
Well, that guy was my favorite because he has one of my favorite lines in the second OVA. because he does say, "What are you doing? Watch your front of us." It's like in Bubblegum Crisis episode 5.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But with infinitely more violence.
And Bubblegum Crisis didn't have MD Geist. That's what it was lacking to be the great OVA. Oh wait, Bubblegum Crisis is great. So.
Geist just shows up, punches a boomer in the face, explodes it, gives Prince a thumbs up, and then leaves.
No, Joe, that's next showing too much human emotion for the thumbs up. He would just blankly stare at her and then turn around and walk the other direction. And then Prince would be like, "He's so hot."
I was going to append that he punches the boomer in the face and kills it. Then he turns to Prince and punches her in the face and then leaves. That sounds like MD Geist.
That is the MD Geist we know and love. But no, then it goes to like this like refugee camp in a city where like they get invaded by critters or whatever. And then it's been however many years since the first one. Because apparently like the second one, so the second MD Geist was made because John O'Donnell loved jacking off to the first one so much that he decided to use actual real money to pay Koichi Wahata to make a second one. I don't know about pretty the jacking well. Off part, but everything else is pretty much true because it was funded by CPM. And yeah, that is the anime industry in the 90s.
Yeah, it's like Big O Season 2.
Yeah, but Big O Season 2 was, I don't know, not as entertaining as MD Geist 2.
but it was a lot cooler.
Yeah,
at times
it was.
For the first, everything except the ending. I mean, Andy Geist has a more definitive ending than Big O.
It actually ended, and then leave you with this whole like, "Oh, what does all this stuff mean?"
They don't say like MD Geist is one of the tomatoes or anything, you know. It's more straightforward.
And yet that would be accurate, considering how he is a government experiment.
Vaya, you are the most dangerous soldier.
No, it was Eagle all the time.
He does have blue skin like Krauser.
Yeah.
No, not as blue.
He's a failed artificial Krauser.
He wasn't part of the most dangerous program. He was part of the rather dangerous program. Like, you don't want to run into him, but if you accidentally do, you might be able to handle it. But Geist, he's going to kill you. Probably.
You don't even know you're dead.
You'll feel very related.
Stab right through the dick.
So apparently Krauser shows up and saves these people, and then he takes them all to his refugee floating fortress in the middle of the freaking desert fortress
Because he's able to maintain his little utopia, because apparently he has he and his scientists have developed some sort of machine that puts out waves that make the Death Force think no people are there.
Oh.
So I don't understand why they don't just mass produce that and have everyone wear it.
Or just like slim it down, kind of like Tony Stark's like energy thing that he has in his chest. Just mass produce that. Because then no one will have to worry about being killed by the Death Force unless it's like they're walking right in front of those things. Saying, "No, kill me, I'm done."
No, even then. Like, even then, you could just walk up and punch it, but it's like, yeah, it's not a human. I just kind of got punched.
Not only that, not only do they have a machine that makes the Death Force think there are no people there, they also have a machine that puts out the waves that make the Death Force think there are people there. So it's not even – they use that in the final battle. All you have to do is put an emitter for that wave thing. What did they call it?
The illusion.
That's it. The existence signal illusion. All you have to do is put that in a city on the other side of the planet. All the Death Force will go there, and we can get on with our lives.
Yeah, because they're going to be over there like, "Where are the humans at? You see any humans? No, there's none over here."
I'm picking up human waves. We definitely know there's none on the other side of the planet, right? I'm not getting any waves from there. I'm getting anti-human waves there.
I have been checking the same three blocks for 6 months, and there are no humans. I am constantly looking at this like a hawk, and I haven't seen no activity but dust.
We're getting human waves. Maybe if we weren't dumb.
Could the humans maybe be invisible? No, I don't think they can do that yet. I don't think. Maybe.
I'm sorry. I can't think straight. I haven't eaten fresh entrails in like more than 3 weeks.
Yeah, seriously, we started eating each other. There's only been like two of us left now.
Damn it, we're supposed to be 9,099 strong. Why can't we build another one? I'm not sure. For some reason, the robo-sperm, I guess, just doesn't work at that point.
I guess all the males ate everyone else, and then there's two males left, and they're like, well, we can try having sex, and then they realize that being gay robots, there's no advantage to that. Because no, it's really. Like, if you're only a female, we could make more and eat our offspring and just survive that way. But you don't have... Yeah, then we could solve our hunger problem.
Hungry robot, how does that even work?
So apparently they... I like how they put that kid to work. The kid's like 8 years old and he's like, everyone here around here works and does their part. And he's like, yes, sir! They make him do like factory work or something.
Yeah.
So apparently there's no child labor laws inside Krauser's fortress.
Maybe that's the reason Krauser is supposed to be the bad guy, because I never got that very well. I know that he's got this arrogance thing where he's like, I will defend these people and they will think I am God. But yeah. He is keeping everyone from being killed by the Death Force, and that is pretty worthwhile.
Yeah, that's true. But putting kids to work, I mean, that's just that's drawing the line right there. You don't do... No regular super soldier human being should do that.
That's right. He doesn't do that. He just kills the children by impaling them on his spear when they were there, apparently.
We will get to that. But
we will.
But what was it? So, like, apparently, like, the doctor guy, like, gets research on MD Geist, and apparently Krauser is against it, but he's like, oh, MD Geist is the perfect super soldier, and because MD Geist is apparently, according to Krauser, insane because he doesn't want to bang chicks like Krauser wants to. He just wants to kill everything. And he's like, he was too unstable, which is why he was sent to space prison. And all this other stuff. And then apparently they trap Geist in like a freaking pitfall that's like got some grass on top of it when him and the robot dude fight. And they take him back, and then apparently like Geist gets like a virtual boy put on his head.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then apparently Geist breaks free, and then he winds up with just like eating people or eating people's arms or whatever. And then,
well, he like, there is a point where he is legitimately eating some dude he just found in a hallway. And there is also a point where he bites Krauser's arm and just takes an enormous chunk out of it.
Yeah,
that is my favorite scene. Probably in this part of... Okay, no, it's not. But it's one of my favorite scenes in the second OVA because of the whole bunch of nonsense that happens the moment Vi breaks the window.
Oh, well, no, we forgot to mention that MD Geist invents the Lancer from Gears of War 2 because, like, he has a chainsaw and chainsaws through that one dude's body and then sticks a gun barrel through it and mows down, like, four guys. Which is actually pretty ingenious, I have to say.
Yeah. Is that when he starts fighting Krauser, though?
That was before he fought Krauser.
Yeah, this was just when he's killing a bunch of civilians because they were there.
Yeah.
Gotta kill something.
No, he doesn't have to start fighting Krauser until he gets to the bridge, at which point Via throws that chair through the window to tell Krauser, Krauser, kill him! He's not
a
human!
He's a demon from hell! Kill him! Hurry!
What I love... My favorite thing about that, other than Vi's terrible acting, is that Krauser is looking at her while he has Geiss in this neck chokehold.
Or headlock, yeah.
Yeah, he's got him in the headlock, and he's just staring at her like, what the fuck?
What is she babbling about this time? And then he takes Guy seriously when he bites off half his arm and he like chucks him over the bridge.
Yeah,
and he's like, I guess she's not that dumb after all. I could have just done that and still saved half my, you know, my wrist.
Yeah, although that does ignore the very important point of that little kid who is apparently the migrant worker going, Krauser, his cheer. That is just awful.
But no, like, Krauser meets up with, like, the security force or army to take out the headquarters of, like, where the Death Force is at in some city. And they have called a Jitnik's bomb or something like that, where apparently it's...
The regular army Jitnik's bomb. Which, when you look at the Jitnik's bomb, because they do show it to you a few times, it just looks like a regular bomb with a bunch of shotgun shells around it.
But no, I like the part where, like...
Really big shotgun shells, though. Because like the bomb part of it is, like, the size... is, like, taller than Krauser.
Yeah, it's pretty enormous.
Well, I like the part where the army was just like, okay, we're 5 kilometers from the bomb. We should be safe. I'm like, if you're 5 kilometers from any explosion that big, you know you're not going to be safe. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Yeah, he says something like, it's got a 4-kilometer annihilation range. And you see it work on the Death Force because they basically turn into sand and blow away. But we're 5 kilometers away from it only having a 4-kilometer range, so we won't even feel it.
That's not how bombs work.
No, it is not.
But, not so anyways, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, maybe that army guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He is corrupted because he wants to kill Krauser because he's a douchebag. I'm not really sure.
So, yeah, but anyways, before we get to that, like, the robot dude saves Geist at the bottom and, like, recuperates him and even gives him a robot eye. And the only reason is, like, the only reason he has is, I just don't like the humans. And you're pretty cool for taking them on.
Those guys are dicks. They made me pick up trash, and presumably he built the robot eye out of scrap metal and also refurbished Geist football armor so that it has eagle wings on it now.
And built a motorcycle.
Oh my god, I remember that when he comes down to give Geist the stuff, and he comes down the pit just rappelling on a chain, and he says, I also brought you this motorcycle, by which I mean there's a motorcycle over there that you can use because I wasn't carrying that.
I told you. You know those tiny dinosaur sponges that you put in water and then they get bigger? He had a motorcycle version of that.
Oh, this bike is all slimy and smells funny.
You gotta give it a day or two to dry out.
That's right.
And by then all the parts will work. All the pistons and like spark plugs that was obviously created by adding water to it. Maybe it's like they make bicycle or motorcycles like those capsules in Dragon Ball Z. They're just like in those little capsule things, and he just pushes it, and it just bloop, the motorcycle. So anyways, pretty much after the bomb goes off and the death, and then Krauser's trying to take on MD guys, like they fight on the top of the ship fortress thing.
In artistic vision, because it's all black and white except for their eyes.
Yeah, I think at that point Koichi Ohata ran out of money, and then John O'Donnell was just like, well, just do the best you can because you have to make this.
I paid too much money for you to stop now, Ohata.
Yeah,
we can't have an ending like last time.
We have gone too far on this, Mr. Ohata. You have to finish this OVA. But oh crap, so then apparently Krauser stabs Geist with like a spear, but then you get to hear like this, oh, and then like as soon as the kid comes to the frame, you hear him go,
It is the best dub performance ever. He stabs Geist through, and presumably the little kid, and you see the little kid there, and it just, everyone's shocked, there's no dialogue, and then all of a sudden the little kid just goes,
Yeah.
And Krauser has the best reaction to it. Wait a minute. No, there's no way I could do that. No!
You're not qualified to be a god, Krauser.
His lips aren't even moving either. I guess it was like an inner monologue with MD Geist. And he forgot to speak his line.
He just decided that he was psychic.
I do not want to live in a world where MD Geist is psychic. That sounds terrifying.
And then that's MD Geist 2. And that is what they have made.
Yeah, and
so
then everything explodes. And that's it.
Everything just
blows
up. There's no
and we are left to assume that MD Geist is dead, but I know in my true of heart of hearts that is not true.
That's right.
Because there is no body to prove it.
MD Geist,
no, just a
MD
bunch
MD
of fake dicks.
One of the actors play him. Find one of those stray penises and make a clone of him. We have the Geist army. Except that the Geist would see each other as the ultimate opponent, so they would just end up trying to kill each other.
Well, you remember the movie Clones of Bruce Lee? It's like that.
Nice.
Dude, I'm talking to Jefferson from Daily Anime Podcast/Anime Guru, and I'm telling him we're doing MD Geist, and he says that anime put him to sleep.
Really?
What?
That's impressive.
Yes. How is that
I know.
Possible? He must have been tired.
I told him he's got no taste, and he's dumb, and he just says, like, no you, lol, 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 lol.
Oh.
Did he not watch it in English?
Right, let me ask him. Did you watch the OVA in English, Grish? Let's see what he says. I can't, like, it's not even that long enough to, like, fall asleep to. He said he didn't watch it in English, and I'm like, ah.
Why would you ever watch this in Japanese? The only reason I can think of to watch this in Japanese is that Dice was voiced by Norio Wakamoto. And I guess if you were really interested in that, to see a role that he did really early on, maybe. But beyond that, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I have actually got the subtitled CPM version of this on VHS, and then I've got the DVD version from ADV that has both versions on it. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, that's what we have, the MD Geist Director's Cut DVD.
Yeah, but then it's bundled on the same disc with MD Geist 2.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Dude, I can't wait till like Discotech picks this up and puts it out on a Blu-ray release, because I would definitely pick it up.
Anything you can show how to make a third one.
Well, then there's going to be commentary where they're like harassing him, like at his door, at his house, just like in Japan, going, "Could you please talk about MD Geist with that?" He's like, "Go away."
Now we can watch it in high def. They made that MD Geist guided manga thing, didn't they?
Yeah, I own that.
I've never read it. How is it? How does it compare? Because I heard supposed to be like different.
I haven't really read it, but it's got like the comic version of the first OVA, and then they did Ground Zero, which is like the story, some backstory leading up to it, to the first OVA, which kind of sort of ties things together to kind of connect it to make it sound like make it look better plot wise. And then on the back of it, it's got a bunch of like concept art. It's like, I know Tim Eldred worked on it, and Tim Eldred's been working on like everything since like forever in the anime industry, especially when it comes to manga and stuff. And comics, but no, I found that book for like $3 at like a local comic book shop a few years ago, and I had to pick it up.
Oh yeah.
It would be like otaku of me not to.
They have a bunch of the Crying Freeman comics at the Bookman's here. Have you read any of those?
I've got the Viz individual comics of Crying Freeman.
Yeah,
which is pretty much the first book, and then I've got the second and third graphic novel manga volumes, which are still sealed. Which I don't know when I'm going to get to reading those. Someday. But yeah, Crying Freeman's good. We're gonna have to review that sometime. And we're gonna talk about that live action movie with Mark Dacascos. Because that's good too.
Okay.
I guess we should talk about some of the cultural impacts MD Geiss has had in the world. I was actually looking at the Wikipedia page for Soldier with Kurt Russell, and they've got a weapon or like some sort of metal or something in that movie called the MDS for Most Dangerous Soldier.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Which I'm like, I now really need to see Soldier.
Huh.
Yeah.
I would not have.
If you didn't tell me, I wouldn't believe you.
No, it's on the Wikipedia page. And then Colony Drop did a whole like thing on MD Geiss, which is basically like the biggest apologetic forum post or blog post I've ever seen on MD Geiss. Because I didn't think there was any other people besides like me and like one other person out there I would have imagined that would have liked MD Geiss. And people actually they turned MD Geiss into like this whole like sociological, complicated thing. And it's amazing some of the stuff they've put down. Like I pull this up, or I'll pull up the link on this. Hold on, let me go to Colony Drop. I gotta find it real quick.
They think there's some deep meaning behind MD Geiss?
Yeah, it's fantastic, some of the stuff I read on this.
Are they being sarcastic?
I don't know. I don't think so, because it sounds too psychological for not to be fake. But hold on, because this is published like last year on the website or something.
Yeah, well, I know when it aired on Sci-Fi, a lot of people in the AIM chat were hating it.
not happy.
Yeah.
Well, you got what was it? You had Jay Turner, like, who always like comment on MD Geiss like all the time, or like he would say like anything that was up on there, he would like make fun of it. At least in the blog post, the blog post, but the forum post.
Yeah, he really hated MD Geiss. He thought it was like the worst thing he ever saw.
That's typically where I find MD Geiss to fall. It's usually either. People either think it's just really awful or so hilarious or like hilariously awful. And I know there are a handful of people who do seem to legitimately like it. And it's just that's not as common.
Okay. So I've got one of these. It's a comment dated on, I can't even read, July 29th of last year from Chris and his website called Chris's Cell Site. .rubberslug.com. I'm going to go ahead and read this out. He says, I think Geiss was always planning to keep the war going because fighting is what he was created to do. The Army Death Force was just a boon, unwisely dropped into his lap. But as he was an artificial construct rather than a person, he could hardly be faulted for fulfilling his design purpose, which was for war. Of course, the Nora guards think that Geiss' skills would be helpful to them, since these poor cannon fodder saps didn't know anything at all about the MDS program. It is an unfortunate built-in glitch, the need for perpetual carnage. They're as misguided as Vaya and her attempt seduction of Geist. The MDS is a biologically created weapon, like a cuddling up to a grenade with the pin pulled out. And the other end of this is someone said perhaps Geiss serves as a mirror for those responsible for the entire conflict. Others mistakenly see Geiss as a reflection of their desires. With Gang Boss's wish for a stronger follower, Vaya's longing for a powerful protector, and the Nova Guard's need for a skilled ally, and Kurt's desire for a disposable superweapon. Though in no way a message flick, MD Geiss show how irresponsible it is when you create weapons beyond your ability to control, because they are liable to come back and bite you in the ass. It is supremely satisfying in an action movie iconic payback kind of way when the satellite cock Colonel Kreutz, the only high-ranking member left in the Jera's army, which was responsible for the MDS and the Death Force, gets a comparance. At his own weapon of mass destruction, Geiss grabs the overconfident fool's face and, in true eye-popping Ohada style, crushes it. That is some really good deep stuff.
Yeah, that guy definitely liked it for real.
Yeah,
it's an interesting take, although the moment that you said the Fred, for some reason it just never occurred to me to think of Geiss as being a biological weapon, even though that's absolutely what he is. The moment you said that, I started thinking about Resident Evil because we've been playing the Resident Evil 6 demo, and I thought about Nemesis being that, and Geist essentially being like Nemesis. So he's going around killing the Death Force, just going, but instead of going stars, he has to do it in accordance with the regular army, so he goes regular every time.
Well, they kind of sound alike.
Yeah, that's oddly true.
Does this mean that we get Chris Redfield versus MD Geist?
Chris Redfield did fuck up that boulder.
Yeah. Well, no, what we need is the game Capcom versus CPM.
Capcom versus Ohada.
So it'd be like Chris Redfield versus the Geno Cyber, or
that's
right. I mean, Kiyoshi Ohada, like as a like after MD Geist, he seemed like there's other stuff I see in his like collection or like what he's directed, and there's apparently those anime titles like 10 years later aren't that bad. Like apparently he knew how to direct kind of decent, halfway decent stuff, but
well,
I mean he falls
MD
into the
Geist
same.
Is something he made really early on. I was under the impression that the first one. Some of the other people who worked on the project said that, yeah, Ohada at that time, he really hadn't gotten his footing as a director yet.
Yeah, I mean, because he was just a mech designer. Right? He falls into the same category as, like, Masami Obari, which, you know, Masami Obari, I love his mech designs, not so much his character designs, maybe?
His character designs, because he draws the... What was the... Did we decide that... Dan Geyser, where he started to fall into that root of drawing of absurd boobs.
Wait, Gal Geyser?
Dan Geyser.
Dan Geyser.
Yeah, Dan Geyser. It was. I don't know if that was the first thing he ever directed. I think it was the first Super Robot show where he did both the robot designs and directed it. And it is filled with ridiculous fan service and enormous breasts. The way that I always put it whenever it comes up is that Dan Geyser is not a robot show. It is a softcore porn with a robot in it.
I remember back when we watched 3/4 of that show, you kept asking me, are you sure this is an Angel Blade?
Yes, I did keep asking you that. Then the robot appeared, and then I'm still not convinced it's not Angel Blade, but I don't remember a robot from Angel Blade from those, like, 10-second anime previews I saw of it once.
Yeah, not only that, Dan Geyser started off in the middle of everything, so you didn't really know what happened. The only good thing that came out of that, though, is that apparently you can turn off the moon, but some dick turned the moon back on.
That guy who has the costume design ever, because it's a clearly Masami Obari costume design, because it is designed for him to have armor everywhere except his stomach so that you can see his rock hard 8-pack.
I don't know. I think Obari directing the Fatal Fury animes is probably the best thing he's ever directed, and that's including the OVAs in the movie.
Well, episodes of Bubblegum Crisis?
Okay, other than those two episodes. I mean, like, his own, like... crap. Yeah, that counts. Okay, so Bubblegum Crisis is above Fatal Fury. Out of all of the fighting game to anime adaptations that are out there, Fatal Fury is, what I've seen so far, is the best ones. They're the most easiest to watch, and they're most enjoyable to watch.
Street Fighter ones, and those are all bad, so...
Well, I like the Street Fighter 2 movie. I like the TV show, but they don't...
Street
they're
Fighter
not 2, as...
the movie... It's not a great plot movie, but I will say that they did have a fair amount of budget, because the fight scenes in that are... They
got some all right animation in it. So it's not a bad action movie in a lot of places. It's just not a particularly well written movie.
Yeah.
And nothing can ever top of the live action movie.
Which live action? Oh, the Jean-Claude Van Damme one.
Yeah.
That's true.
I do own that movie.
I knew someone would own that movie. I don't own it right now. But my favorite part of that movie is either the quote-unquote Hadouken that Ryu pulls off, where he sort of slaps somebody and it makes this explosion of white.
Well, there's also the part where, like, they're at the, what was it? They're at that fair, and a truck grows at their tent, and then, like, Zangief, they both look at the truck, and they look at the closed caption TV, and they look at the truck again, and look at the TV, and then Zangief yells, "Quick, change the channel!"
Yeah, I remember that.
That is an entertainingly bad movie to watch. Like, I actually, in a way, I do enjoy Street Fighter.
It's a fun movie to watch, though it's just, you know, I don't know. What can you expect of movies starring Jean-Claude Van Damme that weren't Hard Target, I guess? One thing that sticks out to me is his speech at Guile after they say, "We're not going to attack Bison anymore, guys. We're just going to leave."
I'm going to go up river and kick a soft of a pitch Bison's ass so hard, the next Bison wannabe is going to feel it.
Yes.
Colonel Guile, it's just the fact that he can't freaking swear right.
I know. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, that was something.
I kind of wish MD Geist could be like, what if MD Geist had his own show, like off of a regular show? It could be him as a doctor, and then it'd be like Geist MD or something. The most dangerous doctor.
We have to resect the tumor doctor, and then he like gets that gun with the chainsaw at the end of it, just cuts the guy's arm off. "But I had lung cancer. I've cured you." And then the guy just has to leave.
No, I think like MD Geist loses all his patients, and it's like a show. It'd be like a show trying to someone's working with him. Like, "You can save patients, guys. I know it's in you." And he's just like, "I don't think so. I can never change."
The big female doctor's trying to like the attractive female doctor that there has to be trying to like heal his pain, and then he just like throws her out a window.
Yeah,
she gets thrown out.
Yeah,
a window
and like the big
when she tries to like be romantically involved with him to help him emotionally and sexually, she just like he gets a page and he's like, "I gotta go," and he just like shoves her off out of a window.
And then he throws a grenade after.
just to make sure the job is finished. Yeah, and then at the very end of the series, it's actually just one big court case because someone is accusing him of malpractice. Imagine how he would handle that.
"You're not fit to be a judge."
And then the whole courtroom explodes.
just around him.
No, and then he walks away from the courthouse and he like pulls a bullet from his forehead. And then it's subtext for the next episode.
That's right. Can MD Geist cure his own bullet wound to the brain? And you see him like poke his fingers in there and pulling it out.
Oh, I think we should.
And then we have the big crossover. We have to have the big crossover, MD Geist versus Blackjack.
Blackjack walks onto the stage and then sees MD Geist like eating one of his patients, puts his hands up and his back's out of the screen. Crossover over.
Can't stop, he's just a doctor.
When Hironobu Kageyama says that you're the most dangerous doctor, you know that it's true.
Most dangerous. He just set that guy on fire.
Apparently, Hironobu Kageyama came to America for an anime convention once, and somebody asked him about MD Geist and singing for it, and he was like, wow, in Japan, nobody would have asked me about MD Geist.
Oh. That is a sad thing to hear, but apparently we Americans don't know better but to fall in love with MD Geist. Are we really at an hour and a half recording time?
Uh-huh.
I think we should probably wrap this up. Now, go ahead.
Considering how we've been going for about the length of MD Geist itself.
Yeah, I would say so. I have sort of a request. I think we should use our final remarks as yelling a scene from the MD Geist anime. Or pick one line and just yell it and shout it as loud as you can and add it at the end of it.
I like it.
Wait, you've got to... Damn it. You've got to give me a minute if I'm going to come up with one of those.
All right, I'll start with my coherentist. All right, Josh.
Josh is typing.
Oh. Should I say my line?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, say your line.
You demon! How dare you! I'll send you to your grave!
John, what's yours?
I don't have one yet. Where's this video that has all the best of lines or whatever?
Hey, guess what I just pulled up?
Did you need to do the research on it?
There we go.
Oh, sweet.
I got an idea. I just need to remember how it goes. I remember roughly when it happened.
I hope that you're not thinking of the same thing I'm thinking of. But, well, I guess we'll see.
Well, if you two have yours already, Joe, go ahead and say yours real quick.
I'm their god. I can win. There is no way I can lose. Ah!
I hate you.
I knew it.
You son of a bitch.
You got anything double the man? Oh, you got to need a minute? I kind of want to go last, so unless hopefully no one's... Okay.
I got one. Open up the door! Open up the door! Open up the door! I do not want to die in here!
Damn it, that's what I was going to say. I want to turn that line into a techno song, or find a way to turn it into a techno song.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
It's so awesome. It sounds like she's chanting for some. It sounds like a commercial for a particular food, where like the kids are at the table chanting for the food.
Crap! I wish I went ahead of you now.
I wish I had gone to Joe.
Alright, well, John, if you don't have anything, or...
I'm looking for the dying guy's line, but I don't...
It's hold on, I guess I can type it out real quick.
Oh, okay. You have it memorized?
Yes, I do.
It's so bad. We did the fact that during the first episode, everyone, I guess because during the Japanese, they would have been calling Geist. On the dub keeps calling him Mr. Geist, and it sounds really stupid.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was like, you and Mr. Geist need to deactivate the death force. Can you repeat that?
Oh, okay. You and Mr. Geist need to deactivate the death force. I don't know.
And I guess I'll end it with the game's not over yet. It's just beginning. Do 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 do. Okay.
Maybe what was supposed to happen is because there's a line in the second OVA where MD guy just goes, "Now we continue." And that was supposed to be the starting point for the second OVA.
I guess I could. I guess my other one would be like, "Krauser, kill him! Hurry!"
I love how she just randomly screams at the end for no reason. She's so traumatized by guys, she can't help it.
What year is it?
What year is it? What's that?
Oh, that was a good one too, yeah.
People, there are tons of people on every level.
There's just so many.
I guess we should go ahead and stop it. That was a good episode. I guess next week we can probably do Cyber Next Guardian.
Is that just one episode? Or?
I think it's two, actually. I have it on DVD, so I can stream it.
Oh, okay. And Genocyber is like six, isn't it?
Yeah, I think all we need to do is watch the first like two or three episodes of Genocyber, because the last two or three are like utter crap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the last two
are
Yeah, but like they meet at like desert town in some like future or whatever, and like the Genocyber doesn't even show up till like the last like 20 minutes.
Well,
because like nothing happens.
We could do like, I mean, we have. There's only like three shows we're gonna do over 4 weeks, right? We could like split it up, do three episodes 1 week, and then the terrible ones the next week or whatever.
Yeah, we could do that.
Anyway, I'm gonna end the recording.
Mission complete.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cybernauts Cast. Do you want more of what we got? If so, check us out over at our website at cybernautscast.wordpress.com. If you wish to leave us an email on, well, anything, then shoot one over at cybernautscast@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review, why don't you? We'll see you next week. Same Cybernauts time, same Cybernauts channel.
Thunder Warrior. Koros, sore dake da. There wasn't a prison in this galaxy that was going to keep him locked up. Now, an entire planet's trying to wipe him out. But there's something about a challenge that brings out the best in M.D. Geist.
Tamare hyena.
No matter what they send his way, he's ready to take it on. government forces, and rebel armies. They're all the same to him. He's even looking forward to a little fight with Death Force, a remorseless, computer-driven techno monster, the ultimate killing machine. They programmed Death Force to destroy everything. But there's one thing they never figured on. M.D. Geist. It's a showdown you'll never forget. A clash of the interplanetary super titans. Produced and brought to you by an award-winning team of Japan's top animators. Design specialists on the cutting edge of high-tech, high-concept, heavy metal action entertainment. Thunder Warrior.
First question. What year is it?
What year is it? What's that?
I just want to know how long I've been napping. Nothing important.
If we don't, that maniac killer's going to kill us. Same thing, either way.
I verified 4 powered machines on our flank. 3 behind. It would appear the rear center is the command unit.
Idiot! Does he think that's going to save him?
Forget about him! Get the tank!
Spare me your pathetic nonsense! We saved your butts! You can't push me and Geist around! We could bury you anytime we want to!
Shut up, you stupid hyena! We fight our own damn battles! We don't need scum like you!
I'm a hyena! Yeah, I live off dead men! But who made me that way? You! The army boys! Your damn battles have killed almost everyone on the planet! Most of the people that dreamed of a bright future got snuffed out like candles! And the unlucky few who aren't dead yet are now left in a living hell! If I'm a hyena, then you're a demon from hell!
This is our strategic headquarters. Brain Palace. As the war turned against us, we prepared a final program. Our mission is to invade the Brain Palace and deactivate this program. Its name, the Death Force.
You killed the Colonel! Everyone's dead up above. It looks awful. I hit so I was safe. But all that matters to me is that you're alive.
Watch where you're going! Watch in front of us!
Grazer, kill him! He's not human! He's a demon! He's an instrument of death who climbed out of the Hades he created to kill all living things! Kill him!
No way I can lose!
Ah! Open up the door! Open up the door! Open it now! I do not want to die in here!
It can't be. No, I couldn't have. There's no way!
You're not qualified to be a god, Krauser.
MD Geist.